Welcome back in Hinder Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. And Joe, it's that time of the week. We bring in our good friend Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Absolutely. So, Josh, you tweeted this out yesterday, and I was unaware of this yesterday until you tweeted out. Yesterday was the 10-year anniversary of Tennessee beating Ohio State in the Sweet 16 to advance to the Elite Eight for the first time in team history. What do you remember most about that tournament and that game?
Well, it was a Tennessee basketball team that had had quite a season, because earlier in the year, Tennessee had had the arrests of a few players, including the dismissal of Tyler Smith, who was a team leader. And then Tennessee had the incredible upset of number one Kansas. And then it was a Tennessee basketball team that had, you know, had a fine season, but it was a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament. This was not one of Bruce Pearl's teams that was expected to do the most, at least compared to a couple of others, including one that 2 years earlier had won the SEC championship outright in the regular season and ended up in the Sweet 16 against just, you know, a better Louisville team that was a better matchup. In that Ohio State game, you had a team that was really good, and yeah, Tennessee caught a break, I think, on the road to that Sweet 16, catching Ohio in the previous round. But going up against the Ohio State team, there was no break, and they had to beat Evan Turner and company. And it came down to the wire, went back and forth, and different players stepped up and made plays for Tennessee in that game. J.P. Prince, Brian Williams had a big tip in there late, Wayne Chisholm, Scotty Hobson. And it was just a team with a bunch of personality, and I think had taken on a really big underdog role and very – very well could have gotten to the Final Four, just came up short, of course, in the next round against Michigan State. But it's incredible to think that it's been 10 years, and it's incredible to think of all the different things that have happened with Tennessee athletics and Tennessee basketball in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it is incredible. Were you there, Josh, in St. Louis?
I was in Knoxville. I was not.
Okay, I was on press row for obviously I covered Michigan State at the time, so and for the Ohio State game, which I was – I mean, I remember being stunned because I really thought Evan Turner and that Ohio State team might win the thing. If you guys remember that, yeah, that tournament, Kansas lost to Northern Iowa in first or second round, but the first weekend, which was, I mean, Kansas was the clear favorite. Like everybody this year is like, Kansas, they probably would have won it. And I'm like, yeah, I can give you some examples of some other Kansas teams that we thought might have won it. But, no, that was an amazing weekend, and you're right. I mean, they absolutely had a chance to beat Michigan State. It came down to Draymond Green passed it to Raymond Morgan, and it was a foul at the rim with, like, you know, 1-point-something seconds left. I remember in real time it was like, oh, he got hammered. But then you actually watch the replay, and it was like, I don't know about that. I mean, it was one of those things where, like, it's hard to blame the official for making the call in real time because it looked like there was no way to stop him without fouling him. But actually, it may have been a clean defensive play. But, you know, as Vols fans know, I mean, that's as close as Tennessee has gotten to, you know, to the Final Four. And we all thought a year ago that that might change.
Yeah, and Tennessee was that close. And it's just another reminder, because we have a countless number of how close teams can be to advancing or not, depending on which round we're talking about, because the Ohio State game comes down at the very end. They had a shot or two. The last shot was a real desperation even. Tennessee actually defended it maybe a little too tightly for some of the fans liking it at the end, but you know, Tennessee got out of there with the win. And then against Michigan State, if Scotty Hobson hits the free throw, who knows, but he misses the free throw, and there's the run out to lead to what you're talking about there, Joe. And it's how close it can be. And then for sure the Purdue game, because we're talking about the Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield team from a year ago, because that was a team that was number one in the country for four straight weeks and for sure had, I think, the makeup to be a team that could make a run to try to win a championship. It came up short, and you have the controversy with the call on Edwards 3. So there's a lot you can play there, but the Iowa game was wild before that for Tennessee. And Loyola Chicago a couple years ago, that's a game where Tennessee could have won at the end, and it has a shot that goes for the opponent. Jordan Bone misses. So, yeah, at this point, I'm just bringing up the devastating message for Tennessee fans. But, you know, the teams that were really built to be there, they came up short, but they very easily could have gotten it done. That's the madness of the tournament.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us. And Josh, yesterday Pro Football Focus came out and asked people what they thought the top five quarterbacks that they've seen in college football, who would they be? I'm not going to sit here and ask you what your top five would be off the top of your head, but if I were to ask you who is the best college football quarterback you've ever seen, who would it be and why?
Well, we're coming off the season that Joe Burrow just had, which was really kind of unreasonable, especially with some of the numbers he put up. I lean toward this conversation looking at just at the peak, what he did at his best, and I come back to what Cam Newton did in 2010. It's difficult to not go that direction. Tim Tebow, when you consider at his best and over the course of a career, helping win multiple championships leading to one, that's going to come to mind. We've just had so many great quarterback seasons, and I know numbers have changed as well in terms of what they're able to do. And also the way offenses are run to help quarterbacks both run and throw the football. And then a guy that I think deserves more conversation and playing a different style offense, but in terms of dominance of the team and him helping lead the way, I come back to Tommy Frazier a lot in the mid-90s with Nebraska and what he was able to do in that offense. So Danny Werfel at Florida, I'm a little younger. Some would go further back in their time. But if I just choose the one season, the one guy that I want to go lead the way for me, I'd probably come back to Cam Newton.
Those are all good names. I'm a little surprised there was no mention of Peyton Manning. You know, a guy who I always thought when watching Peyton Manning, obviously we know what he, you know, he's going to be remembered as one of the top handful of quarterbacks ever play the game. But even in college, I always thought, you know, those Tennessee teams couldn't stop Spurrier's offense, or else, you know, maybe Peyton Manning has a little bit different trophy case too.
Yeah, that's true, and I'll probably get in trouble because I didn't. If you trade Werfel and Peyton, we can do this in the NFL, right, with Peyton and Brady, because you could have a longer-term argument. If Peyton's with the Patriots, do we really believe he has one or two Super Bowls? Two, of course, when you include him going to Denver. I would say no. I would think he has more, and if he goes to Florida, does he have another SEC championship and probably a national championship? I would think yes. But he didn't. So, of course, Peyton's up there. And if you have Peyton on your side, you're going to try to go win the game with one quarterback, then you're going to have a really good chance with Peyton on your side. So there's nothing wrong with taking Peyton. And it's not his fault he didn't win the Heisman. He should have, in my opinion. It's an incredible Heisman class, by the way. Different conversation for a different day. But I still lean to guys that ended up winning it all for that final conversation.
Josh, speaking of Peyton Manning, he joined an online class at Tennessee that kind of encouraged the students. And it's hard to tell from like a Zoom conference, but it looked like some of them didn't really know who he was and who was talking to them. Have we officially gotten to the point that we are so old that some college kids don't know who Peyton Manning is, even at Tennessee?
Yeah, these conversations have a way of really upsetting me because the Michael Jordan conversation, it's not the kid's fault, but there's the story of a Sports Illustrated writer speaking to a class of maybe fourth graders. You guys might have seen the story from a time before, and Michael Jordan's brought up, and the kids aren't quite sure who he is, and then it's pointed out, well, the guy on the shoes, and they recognize, oh, the Jordan shoes, not the guy that's probably the greatest basketball player of all time, and a pro athlete whose son was talking to Bo Jackson and wasn't quite sure about Bo Jackson's athletic career. Did you play pro sports? Yeah, just might be the best athlete of all time. So we're just going to have more of these conversations, and it's not the kid's fault. If anything, it's on us. And I've actually said in the last week, not jokingly, with the vaults being open, the NBA classic games you can go watch, and the NFL, what they've done in Major League Baseball yesterday with some games for opening day, which didn't happen. Continue to keep these available so that kids and dads with their kids can go back and watch the games and we can relive them. It's just a way to connect the history of the sport. So college athletics and pro, the more games from before the time that kids are coming up watching sports. There was the video of the Christian Laettner shot this past weekend where a couple of kids are, I guess, Kentucky fans, and they see the Laettner shot for the first time, and they're learning, wait, we lost the game? Yeah, 28 years ago. But to them, it was happening for the first time, and that's just, even though that's a heartbreak, it still it still is a connection. It's a way for fans to learn about the past as well.
I thought it was kind of mean, some of these, you know, some of these Kentucky fan parents, like, hey, let's experience this together, kids. And then you see these, you know, like 6-year old, like, oh, starting to cry because, like, you know, he should like he has to experience that too, you know. I actually,
well, it's mean, but it's therapeutic, I think, because while we're in these quarantines, I think we're trying to get whatever is emotional that we're dealing with out. Also, I bet the parents are thinking, hey, I cried, my kids are going to cry to that shot.
Exactly. Yeah, so maybe there's, you found an upside here, Josh, is that, you know, by the time, you know, life returns to normal, a lot of people will have watched a lot of, you know, old, you know, videos, classic games, documentaries. I mean, look, my kid and I were watching 88 Pistons Celtics the other day, you know, which,
yeah.
So, hey, I mean, we keep on over, you know, uncovering positives here.
Yeah, yeah, and I think more will end up being available through YouTube because some are out there, but you can find some games where you only get, like, part of the game and you might miss the end of it. That's really not doing you a whole lot of good. So I really do believe the more the leagues can do to help you watch, the better. I talked to a friend, though, yesterday to come back to Tennessee. He said, yeah, I've been watching some games. He pulled up the South Carolina game this past season, which was a really good one for Tennessee. I thought kind of a random one to watch, but he said, I know that I'm going to start to go down some kind of rabbit hole, and I'm going to look for Tennessee losses just to do damage to myself again. He said, I'm going to go watch the Baker Mayfield Oklahoma game. I said, why are you going to do that? And he didn't have a good answer. So, yeah, there are a lot of fans that are going to deal with all that we're going through right now in very different ways.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Josh, thanks as always for joining us, my man. Hope you have a good weekend. Hope you stay safe.
Hey, you too. Thanks, guys.
See you, Josh.
When we come back, we'll get into a little bit of that Peyton Manning joining the UT class. Did the kids really not know who Peyton Manning was? Are we that old, Joe? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.